1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. We'll see a lot of verses today, so leave the Word of God, your Bible open. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" The background here is that Elijah earlier had prayed, asking God to withhold rain. Now that's a prayer. Now think about it. He's asked God to withhold rain. Withhold rain. Who prays like that? And who gets that prayer answered? Well, he did. And the purpose for that prayer was to get the people to repent, the people to wake up, the people to become desperate, the people to turn back to the Lord God of Israel. How many times does the Lord use something that's natural to get our attention, to get us thinking towards spiritual things? So that's the whole purpose of that prayer. And so it's been 3.5 years with no rain in the land. And so we're going to have a competition. We're going to have a showdown here in 1 Kings chapter 18. We have already in verse 17, Ahab the king, wicked, evil king, confronts the prophet Elijah. And he says to his face, "You are the troubler of Israel." In other words, because he prayed for God to withhold the rain, Ahab said, "It's all your fault there's a famine. It's all your fault there's no water. It's all your fault there's a drought. And you're the troubler of Israel." Look at verse 18. And Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Elijah, right face to face with this powerful, wicked, evil king. Face to face. And he looks at him square in the eye, and he says, "Don't call me a troubler, you troubler. You're the one that's troubled, because you've led the Israelites to do wrong, and you've led them to serve false gods and go against the commandments of the true and holy God, and they turn to Baal." Verse 19 and 20, look with me there. In verse 19 and 20, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." Verse 20, "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel that gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel." And so we're going to have a competition. We're going to have a contest, Elijah tells King Ahab. We're going to have a contest between those who serve Balaam as their God and to the real Lord God of Israel. Now it's morning. Here in 1 Kings chapter 18, they're 1,800 feet above sea level, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea at this very location. It's a place called Mount Carmel. There's 450 prophets of Baal, false prophets. There's an additional 400 men, prophets of the groves. So we have King Ahab with 850 men. And we got one man, Elijah. 850 to one. 850 odds to one in anybody's book, no contest. There's no competition. But Elijah has one job. That's it, just one job. Elijah has one duty. He has one responsibility, and that's to stay on his side of the promise. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's what he's to do. Now, unlike him, many of us would get our eyes on the 850. We'd get our eyes on the overwhelming odds. We'd get our eyes on there's no contest. We can't compete. We can't play. We can't simply get involved in that, because 850 to 1 in anybody's book is a landslide There's no chance for the one. God just says, look, hey, I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. You can depend on me. I'm faithful. And so in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Elijah has some idiot faith. In God I trust. He's trusting God. And when you have God and just you, you always have the majority. When you have God on your side, it don't matter how everything else looks. It don't matter how steep it looks. It don't matter how deep it looks. It don't matter how far financially you are down. It's as if you've got God on your side, he promises to be with you. Idiot faith is in God I trust. And that's exactly what we're going to see unfold here in this great story in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah's faith on display. And we're going to see God direct his path. Not Elijah's path. God will direct his path for Elijah and the great nation of Israel. Now, it's not odd that it's 850 to 1. It's God. And God wants to show off, and God wants to show up, and God wants to tell you and I today in 2022 that whatever you're facing, whatever situation you might be thinking right now about tomorrow and next week, maybe you're just getting through something, that hey, he has a winning strategy for you. There's victory in the future for you and for me, because if God can do what God's going to do in this story, then he can do what he needs to do in your story. Hey, have you ever felt outnumbered? Sure you have. Have you ever felt like the odds were against you on your job, at school, in competition? Sure you have. So you got to pay attention, because this will encourage you like it's encouraged me. Look at verse 21 real quick. Verse 20, and Elijah said unto all the people, 850, how long? How long halt ye between two opinions? Either the Lord be God, and we follow him, or if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. So Elijah stands up, 850 on one side. He faces them by themselves with just himself only. All eyes are focused on Elijah. He says, either we're going to serve God or we're going to serve the God of Israel. We can't serve both. He said, so we've got to decide who we're going to serve. He says, how long halt ye two opinions? Sprouting understanding, that word means, how long you going to waver? How long are you going to waffle? How long are you going to straddle the fence? How long are you going to simply be inconsistent who you're going to serve? These are Israelites that have turned to Baal. These are God's people that's turned to Baal, these 850. And boy, Elijah's one man, one prophet, one man of God. Man, he's a man that's standing to them. And he's saying, man, who are you gonna pick? Who are you going to choose? What side you going to be on? He said, if Lord, if Baal be God, let's serve him. And if the Lord God of Israel be God, let's serve and follow him. In other words, Elijah's saying, you better make up your mind. Time's running out. Yeah, Elijah is saying, man, you need to decide. You need to choose today. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be partial committal. Make sure, just decide once and for all who you're going to choose. Elijah is saying there's only one true God worth serving. He's saying the other God of Baal to 850 people, he's a fake. He's a phony. He's an imposter. And so we're going to have a contest. We're going to have a competition to see which God can deliver. And so Elijah stands as an ambassador of heaven. He's one servant by himself against the 850 prophets of Baal. Look at verse 23 and 24. Listen how it starts out here, this contest, this competition. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it into pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. He said, man, we're going to get two bullocks, and 850 of you guys are going to cut this thing up in pieces, and you're going to simply sacrifice it on your wood altar. I'm going to take the other altar, cut it up in pieces, and put it on my wood altar. There's going to be no fire under it. Verse 24. And then
and call ye on the name of your gods. Once you get the bullet cut up, you get it on the altar of wood with no fire in it, then call upon your gods. And I will call upon the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, that answers by, and the one that answers by fire, let him be God. All the people answered and said, that is well spoken. And so we've got this contest going on. And they're all going to cut it up, and they're all going to lay it out, and they're all going to prepare it. And then they're going to simply call on their gods to answer and to show up and to show out in a marvelous, just amazing, miraculous way. Now, Mount Carmel, just so you know, is known as Baal Mountain. You see, Baal was the storm god. He was known as the storm god, the storm of the god of rain and lightning and thunder. And so this 1,800 feet above sea level, then they feel like they have the advantage having this contest up on Baal Mountain because of their god is the, quote, storm god. And they said it's well spoken. And so look at verse 25 and 26. So the contest has started. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one of the bullocks, dress it, and for as many call upon the name of your gods, and put no fire under it. Verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor anything that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. So the prophets of Baal, 850 of them, they go first. And they begin to pray to their god Baal. They begin to cry to their god Baal. They begin to plead with their god Baal. They begin to beg to, with their god Baal to no avail. Verse 26 said there was no answer from Baal. Can I just tell you what you already know and what I already know? Idols are just the work of man's hands. Idols, they have mouths, but they never speak. They have ears, but they never hear. They have eyes, but they never see. They have hands, but they never reach. They're idols. They're man-made images, man-made gods, they're man-made idols. That's all Baal ever was. That's all Baal is. Elijah knew it. You and I know it. And he's calling them out, and they're calling to that God that can't hear them because he's not a real God. He can't see them because he's not a real God. He can't feel them because he's not a real God. There's no answer for 3 hours. There's no smoke. There's no fire. There's no bullet consumed. Baal is a fraud. Verse 27, I wouldn't have done this, but I might have done it. Look at verse 27, what Elijah did. He says this. He said, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. One guy gets 850. That's what I love. He mocked them and said, cry louder, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Call louder. Your God must be busy. Your God must be tied up. Your God must be sleeping. Your God needs to be awake. And he mocks Baal. Now, I probably wouldn't do that, but I'm glad he did it. Amen. I'll just say amen. He's calling them out, mocking them to their face, because he understands who the real God is. He understands that Baal is a phony and a fraud. And Elijah mocks them. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, the Bible says this, and they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets, until the blood gushed out upon them. These false God worshippers are so desperate for Baal to hear them and to consume that bullock that's on that altar that they begin to cry louder, they beg louder, they pray louder, and they get nothing. So they jump up and down on the altar themselves. They begin to take knives and weapons and cut themselves and sacrifice and mutilate themselves until blood begins to gush according to God's word. They're at a desperation point. They do self-inflicted laceration to themselves, trying to get their God's attention. They want to arouse God. They want to wake up God, their God. They want to get the attention of their false God, Baal. There's no answer. No fire falls. Baal is a sham. These prophets are speechless. These prophets are exhausted. These prophets are exposed. These prophets are humiliated. Everything they've done has been done in vain. Look at verse 30. And it says in verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. He's calling them really close. He wants them to see exactly what he does. And all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. See, he wants them to see what happens. There's no trickery. There's no illusion. He wants them to come in close so he can see exactly what his God does that other God couldn't do. He takes center stage. He's up to bat. It's his turn to simply, in the competition and the contest, to just call fire down from heaven from the true and living God. So he asked him to come in. I want you to get close. I want you to see there's no trickery. We don't do that. Our God can hear us, and God will answer our prayers. The Bible says in verse 30 that he repairs and builds the altar. In verse number 32, look what it says. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar. So not only does he repair the altar, but he builds a trench outside the altar of the bullock on top of the wood. In verse 33, and he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid on the wood and said, "Fill, don't miss it, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Who does that? Elijah's men, he's simply going to show these people, he's going to prove once and for all that we have a God, that nothing is impossible with God. And he cuts up that bullock and he puts it on the wood. He does it in a decently orderly method. In the Baptist church, we simply do that. We do things decently in order. 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. And then he simply commands they pour four barrels of water on the sacrifice, four barrels of water on the wood. Now remember, it's been a 3.5-year drought. I mean, water is a huge commodity, very costly. He's going to leave nothing unturned. He's going to make sure no one can dispute the God of gods, the God of Israel, the God of heaven. And so they get barrel after barrel, and they pour and they saturate the wood, they saturate the bullet, they saturate the altar. It's soaking wet, it's sopping wet. The wood, the altar, the sacrifice. Elijah wanted to get the message across crystal clear. It would be God or it'd be nothing. There's no way we can pull a magician trick. No way we can pull some trickery. There's no way we can do some hocus pocus. No, it's either going to be God or it's going to be nothing. 34, verse 34. And he said, do it a second time. Do what a second time? Pour more water on it. Let's do it a second time, he said. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. In verse 35, and said, the water ran about the altar, and it filled the trench also with water. Anybody ever started a fire with water? No, of course you haven't. It don't mix. It don't compute. It's not science. It won't work. No way. But he's did it once, twice, three times. He is saturating. He is soaking water with water. He is saturating water with water. He is pouring more water on top of this sacrifice, this wood, this bullet. And then verse 36 and verse 37, Elijah prays. He calls upon the God of heaven, the God of Israel, to show himself. Hey, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's what he's doing. It's not that Elijah's not on stage. He's not performing. He's simply trusting the God of heaven. In all thy ways, he's acknowledging the God. It's God or nothing. It's not God plus Elijah. It's not God plus a prophet. It's not God plus a man of God. It's God and God only. I'm just here to acknowledge him. I'm just here to lift him up. I'm just here to build him up. I'm just there to simply exalt him. He and he alone is worthy of praise and honor. He and he alone can do what we can't do, I'm going to acknowledge him and leave the rest of it up to God. And man, that's exactly what he's doing. You see, man prepares, Elijah did, but it's God who provides. And we sometimes want to help God provide, and we just prepare like Elijah did. And the Bible says in verse 38, look at it, it says this real quick. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Man, this is not Elijah rubbing sticks together to start a fire. This is not Elijah simply putting kerosene and pretending it was water and then light. No, this is not Elijah using a magnifying glass to get some kind of fire started. No, sir. No, ma'am. Hey, the fire fell because Elijah prayed. He asked and God heard. He asked and God answered. Hey, this is Elijah praying to the God of heaven. This is Elijah staying on his side of the verse. This is Elijah staying on his side of the promise. This is Elijah simply implementing his idiot faith in God. I trust. He's implementing his measure of faith, trusting God to take it from there. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what the widow of Zarephath did. That's exactly what Jochebed did. That's exactly what the three Hebrew boys did. That's exactly what Elijah's doing. They're trusting in God with a little bit of faith. And when God sees that, God takes action. God takes over and God shows up and God shows out. Man, this was no ordinary fire. This was a supernatural consuming fire here in 1 Kings chapter 18. In verse 38, it consumes the sacrifice. In verse 38, it consumes the wood. In verse 38, it consumes the stones. In verse 38, it consumes the dust. It consumes the water in the trench. All those barrels of water and tongues of fire lick up the water in the trench. Good night. You can't make this stuff up. This is better than you think the outcome should be. This is over the top. This is like making a statement. This is exclamation point times two. Man, wouldn't you love to have been there? Man, what a day it must have been. I mean, the victory, amazing, miraculous work of a man who believed in God by faith, and God did what God does because a man stayed on his side of the fence, his side of the verse, his side of the promise, and God showed up and intervened and took charge of the whole situation. Verse 39, hurry, we got to go. Verse 39, here's what it says. And when all the people saw 850 enemies, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." The people witnessed for themselves. They witnessed the difference between a man-made God and the true and living God. They saw firsthand the difference between the tricks of man and the touch of God. That's what they saw. That's what they witnessed. They saw it firsthand. Friends, when God shows up, people are consumed, they're convicted, and they're converted. That's exactly what happens here in this wonderful closing verses of this great chapter, chapter 18. These are now believers and followers and worshipers of the true and living God in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. Elijah didn't do all this for self-promotion. He didn't do all this for some kind of photo op. He did it by faith to please God. Called on God, and God showed up and did what God did. What a good God. What a God we serve, you and I. Idiot faith in God I trust. No rain for 3.5 years. The land was devastated. The land was dry. The land was dehydrated. The Bible says that all 850 false prophets are killed. Verse 41 is an interesting verse, and I'll close with this. Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. We've all been somewhere. Maybe in your yard, maybe in your farm. Oh, we've all been somewhere when there was so much need for rain. Man, do we need rain. Man, we've been praying for rain. Man, it's dry. Man, it's hot. Man, the ground's hard. Man, it's dusty. And then out of nowhere, cloud shows up. Out of nowhere, you feel it. You smell it. You hear it. You see it. And it's the abundance of rain. Had had no rain 3.5 years. Oh, what a blessing. Oh, what a godsend. Oh, what a blessing. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible says, he should be let thy pass. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I have an invitation in just a moment. God spoke to you. You need to make a decision for the Lord. You can do that today. What a great God we serve. What a great story we just read. And it's all true. God did what God does. God does what only God can do. God does it in a way that there's no dispute. And God wants to do the same thing for you.
Yes.
No dispute. God turned your life. He transformed your life. He's changed your life. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the wonderful, wonderful story of Elijah and his age of faith. We pray, Father, that we can be encouraged. And that, Father, we can put our trust in you. Full trust in you, the one that never fails. Speak to hearts. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all say it. Ruby's going to lead us. You sing along with him. We can help you.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Well, lift your Jesus. Well, lift your Jesus. Are you grieving? Oh, broken hearted. Well, lift your Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
Thank you so much for your attention this morning. It's always a privilege to get to